The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A very good afternoon to all of you. I do hope that you're all doing well on this beautiful Wednesday, the 13th of January, 2021. If you are back at work, I hope that work's going well. Before I start the Shahida Kali show, I am your host, Nadia Khamildin, standing in for Shahida, who's taking a well-deserved break. This evening, we have a jam-packed show, inshallah, and something very, very important. So I need you to need you all to sit very close and listen up. But before I do that, I must just tell you, just before I came to the studio this afternoon, I met up with I saw a little boy on the road, and he was very, very emotional. So he looks like he lives on the street, and he was all crying, and a gentleman stopped, and I also wanted to know, you know, what the problem is. And he said that he was waiting for his uncle. And, but he was so emotional. And, you know, when you see somebody else really emotional, he looked helpless. I felt helpless. Yeah. This gentleman said to him, you know, so, is there anything we can do for you? Where do you stay? Do you have a contact number? And he said that he was hungry. So I'd like to take my hat off to the gentleman that went all the way to get this young man something to eat. May Allah reward you abundantly, inshallah. And that was, you know, I'm still, at this point in time, I'm still in awe, because we need more of these people around. So well done to that man. May Allah, you know, bless you. And inshallah, if ever, you know, we can assist people and help them, please, 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 let's do it open-heartedly, inshallah. Right now, we're going to continue with the Shahida Kali show. And like I've mentioned, so the past few weeks we've spoken about a variety of different things. We spoke about abuse. We spoke about the different types of abuse. We spoke about trauma. We spoke about a little bit last week, we touched on grief. This week, we are going to continue talking about grief, but our guest on the line is Mariam Ghafoor. She is accredited life coach and holistic healer, holistic healing therapist. She specializes in emotional release and balancing, and she's going to be talking to us today. And the topic is grief. Now, we all know that COVID-19 has hit us hard. Not only COVID, we lose family. We have lost lots of family and friends. And every single day we hear of people that have lost a daughter, a mother, a father in the space of 2 weeks. Now, of course, this is grief, you know. We need time to heal. And the reason why it's so important to have this very educated and I know Mariam for a long time, and wow, you will hear just by the way she speaks, her aura that she brings across just soothes you and makes you feel so safe. So I'm going to welcome Mariam Ghafoor. Assalamu alaikum and shukran so much for joining us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Afwan.
Are you well?
I'm well, shukr, alhamdulillah. A bit disturbed just before the call. I got sad news about a very good friend who passed away in Surrey Estate, Haji Fatima Davids, who was well known in the community. and also a client of mine, so a little bit shaken up though about the news. And within a span of a few days, there's been so many dear ones passing, and it just spells out so much to me, you know, and it also, it's like death is something that, sure, I'm really shaken up. Subhanallah. It's like, you know, it's like year today, gone tomorrow, and yet people live aimlessly and not purposefully and not soulfully and not sincerely and not wholeheartedly valuing life, you know. So for me, this is a very deep, deep topic. Having lost my son, this year will be 4 years. I said to one of my very close friends, I said, I don't even think I'm ready to speak about something like this. But I work with a lot of people who have lost their loved ones. And, so this topic is quite intense and deep.
Indeed. Yeah. You know, Mariam, as I can hear and, every single day it is a shock for many people. But the one thing that I think is there a difference between grief and sadness and hurt and pain? You know, like sometimes we are faced with grief. If we take death, for example, we grieving, but at the same time we hurt, and sometimes we even, I'm going to take it a step further and say we angry. There's such a lot of different emotions.
It's so important that you bring that up, because they say there are stages in death. There's a stage of denial when you don't want to know that it is true. You can't believe it. It's almost unbelievable. In my case, it was like surreal. It wasn't even denial. It was surreal. Mm-hmm. It was like my son died. Like, that didn't even register. It didn't even hit home. It's mm-hmm. like, really? How is that possible? When my sister phoned me and said, Mariam, they found your Nate. And I'm like, what do you mean they found him? Why would they find him? Where mm-hmm. would they find him? Mm-hmm. And it was so early in the morning, and it just didn't hit home to me. And right. until I saw his body the night, the reality, when I say surreal, I didn't even know what the meaning of surreal was until I really felt this body, the strong big body, and the roof was out of it, and you're touching this body, and it's like so surreal. Mm-hmm. You're like, subhanAllah, how is it that your body is just here and your roof is not in here? I felt it was a body without a roof, because I work on a lot of bodies, and I know the energy and the heat and the feeling, and here is a cold body lying in front of you, and you can't fathom it, Nadia. You can't fathom it. It didn't hit me. It was like a dream. It was like, you know, when the miraj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left for the hijrah, and then Allah had made the guards that were safekeeping the room where the Prophet was supposed to be sleeping in, not so, he left undetected, mm-hmm. and yet he walked past them, and he never saw them, but mm-hmm. the guards never saw him. And that happened to me. The janazah took place, and this body was there, and it was like it wasn't real, and it was real. I knew there were people in my house. I heard people greeting me. I saw all these people, but it just wasn't real. So that's what I talk about, surreal and denial. So there's a stage, different stages. And when you talk about sadness, sadness is part of grieving. Hurt is part of grieving. So I mm-hmm. think it's a culmination of so many feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. And as I say, it happens in stages. And for people must learn, when death never came to your door, don't talk a lot of unnecessary words to people that they don't want to hear, and you must keep you strong, and you must have sabr. That's the last thing you want to hear when somebody died, mm-hmm. is you must have sabr, and you must say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, and hope the person and hug them. Make your salawat and just embrace them. That's enough. That's enough. You don't want a whole lot of words. You just need stillness. You just need to digest it. You can't even fathom it. You can't need to digest it. Mm-hmm. So it's like so unrealistic to want to give somebody your whole history of when your son died or when your mother died. Or it's irrelevant at that given point.
Right.
It is only what matters to that person, and you must be sensitive around that. So people are very insensitive because they tend to only think about themselves in a situation. They don't think about who they're dealing with, you know?
Yeah. Mariam,
carry on.
As you say that, you know, I think of not... Mariam, I need you to turn down your radio a bit.
I haven't got a radio on. Maybe my volume is too high.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah, maybe the volume is a bit high.
Okay.
So what I want you to also talk about is you mentioned it's surreal. You mentioned grief. You mentioned that people that don't know or have not lost I want you to talk about losing a mother and losing a father and losing a son or daughter. There's obviously different types of grieving because our mother.
The relationship dictates that.
Yes.
The relationship dictates that. Yeah.
Yes. So talk to me about that because people would say, you know, like I know, if you hear of, growing up, if you hear that somebody's child passed away, we always used to think only old people die.
Yeah.
You know, that was just, it was just growing up, you know, if somebody young died, it was like, no, it can't be, you know.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah.
So talk to me a bit about that.
You made reference to the relationship, and I will make a statement before I say that. My mom has not passed, so I can't talk about that. My granny passed, who was very dear to me, so she was my role model. And so I can just tell you, I had toothache at 14 years old. I didn't know what I was crying for more, for her or my tooth, you know.
Right.
So that's also something very important to mention, that you will find that there is a scenario that takes place before death takes place. There's 40 days where that ruh, that soul knows that it's going to pass. Or somebody would know that that soul is going to pass. Mm-hmm. You have that premonition that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like Allah prepared you. Like that 40 days before my son passed, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I had rings around my eyes. Everybody wondered what was wrong with me, like what's going on. I just could not eat and I could not sleep. So my soul obviously knew it was going to get the shock of its life.
Okay.
So I want to say to you that, you know, my mom always said to me that your pain is always as deep as your love for somebody. So I don't think one can really make a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
When you love somebody, sometimes you love a dear friend that was so special to you, that made life so enjoyable for you or so meaningful for you, that it could even be where you never had a relationship with your mother, but you would love that person more and you would grieve for that person more because of the kind of mentor that person was in your life. You know, like my beloved Abida, Auntie Abida, who passed away a week ago, a few days ago, from Kensington.
Mm-hmm.
That was a shock for me because she was my mentor for many, many years, spiritual mentor. So you know, that kind of bond and connection is a deep one. It's a deep one. So everyone's relationship with another, I would say it's your bond with that person, because sometimes you have a father that you don't care for, or a son that doesn't show love, or a daughter that's disconnected. When people are disconnected, it's easy to be detached from them. But when they are connected on high levels, on high levels, and where there's appreciation, where there's love, where there's deep muhabba for one another, that you would not do anything to hurt that person. You would want to be there for that person in every way possible, and value, there's a word, valuing a person, because why do we want to wait until somebody dies before you cry your eyes out and say, oh, I felt so and so for this person, this is what I felt. No, you don't say what you felt, you show what you feel. You don't say, I felt this, and I felt that you show it because mm-hmm. it's something that you need to feel. It's something that you need to enjoy and experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so talking about relationships and the levels of hurt and deep, and the levels you would feel of hurt and sadness with somebody is, I would say, your connection and your bond with that person.
You tune to the Voice of the Cape on 91.3 FM. This evening we have Mariam Gafood, accredited life coach and holistic healing therapist, specialist in emotional release and balancing. And this evening we are speaking and we're chatting about grief. If you have any questions or you'd like to comment, our WhatsApp number 082-991-3913, SMS 47913. I'm your host, Nadia Hamildin. When we come back, we'll continue with the Shahida Kali Show. Do stay tuned. To the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. I'm your host, Nadia Hamildin, standing in for Shahida Kali in the Shahida Kali Show. This evening, we are talking about trauma. We're talking grief. Over the past few weeks, we've been focusing on trauma, abuse, etc. But this evening, our main focus is grief. And as mentioned before, on the line, I have Mariam Gafood, accredited life coach and holistic healing therapist specializing in emotional release and balancing. And it's been quite interesting. Lots of people sending, you know, messages through this evening, and I'd like to encourage you, if you have any WhatsApps that you'd like to send, if you'd like to be part of the show, please do send us a WhatsApp on 082-991-3913 or SMS 47913. So, Mariam, before the break, we spoke about, you know, different relationships and, you know, obviously with different relationships and the love that you mm-hmm. have for the person is a different sense of grieving or a different process. Yeah. So, you know, I must just say that I've lost a mother and I will always say that it is something people always say. It is it's a process. You heal with time.
Yeah.
I say you learn to accept it. You just learn to accept to live with it. Because, you know, nothing and no one can change that. And that feeling, that emotion, that emptiness. Mm. And the reason why I say emptiness is because, you know, a lot of I admire people, and especially women that still have mothers, because you have like a kind of a best friend. You have somebody that you can lean on. You have somebody that is there to catch you when you fall. When you don't, you're kind of looking. You're always searching. So, I just needed to...
Nadia, you are saying something so profound because, you know, this whole topic is not just a topic to feel sorry for somebody mm-hmm. that has lost their loved ones. It's not about pity. It's about an education and an awareness because... You know, if I look at, you know, even with this COVID cases, so many people are saying, oh, don't go out, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I believe differently that Allah, your death is put out for you. And that when your time is there, it will be there no matter what. No matter what, if your time is there, you are going to go. So this concept of death and grieving and living and valuing life, for me, that's what it boils down to. Are you living while you're alive, or are you already dead before you die? Have you lived your best life? Are you living purposefully? How sound is your heart before you return to Allah? There's so much of bitterness and ugliness and hatred in so many people. There are relationships that are not people that don't forgive. They don't talk to each other for years. They won't forgive. They won't forget. The lips will say, I forgave, but the heart still holds a whole lot of resentment and a whole lot of ugliness. And so how sound is your heart when you return to Allah? So that's something that is something that we all need to contemplate on. That if I go, I mean, every night since the last few nights, I thought, what if I go? Am I ready? You know, mm-hmm. am I ready? Have I lived my life fully?
Right.
Am I fulfilled? What's missing? The one thing I would love to say before I die is alhamdulillah, I live the full life. I don't want to say if only and live with regret and say die with regret and say I wish I had. No, I would want to say alhamdulillah. Right. Alhamdulillah, Allah, for every condition, Allah, that I have been given and bestowed by you, Allah, shukriya, Allah. So when we say that, saying that, we say, this he told me to me when with a young girl. She was adopted, and she said to me, Auntie Mariam, tell me, how am I going to live without my mom? She only had a mom. She had nobody else. She was adopted to stepmom. And I looked at her. She was like 17, 18, and I saw her mother deteriorating, and she had cancer, the stages of cancer. So that's also part of the preparation of when somebody's going to leave. You don't want to see them suffer. And I looked at her, and I said, you have to brace yourself, your mom is going to leave, inshallah. And this was shortly after Junaid had passed. So a few months later, I think it was almost 3 months later that she did pass. And she phoned me and she said, I don't know how to even breathe. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I said to her, say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And I made her say it 3 times. I said, you all say it so easily, just like we say, I love you easily. Or I, you know, but the meaning behind it and the feeling behind it is your lips and your heart connected when you say this. When you say, la, when you say, inna lillahi, or inna ilayhi raji'un, is it just a phrase that you're wrapping off your tongue? Or is it meaning attached to ya Allah? Everything belongs to you and everything will everyone belongs to you and everyone will return to you. So we are just entrusted with that love. We're just entrusted with that loved one. So are we valuing it? Are we valuing them? Do we take the opportunities that we have to show love and to be loved and appreciated? Only when death knocks on our door we want to cry long crocodile tears and say, if only. That's one word I don't want to say on my lips when I die. I want to say, la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, Allah, I have loved fully. So this is something that came home to me when I asked her to repeat it, and I said to her, it only then hit me what it meant when I asked her to repeat it 3 times, because I realized nothing belongs to us. No one belongs to us. We're all entrusted with that person in our life. We cannot possess another being. We cannot be so attached to another being that we can't let it go because it doesn't belong to us. We're just supposed to love and care and nurture and be, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. And so when you speak about, you spoke of the different pages, there's also regret. And the regret is one of the things that a lot of people sit with when somebody dies. It's because they then wish they had done what they should have done or could have done for that beloved person. That's why I talk about suluk. When you have a relationship with a mother or a father or a sibling or a sister or a brother or a cousin, whoever it is that you're not getting along with, make suluk. Humble yourself. Stop being arrogant. Saying, I'm sorry, I've done wrong. How can we mend this relationship? How can it be better? How can we make this work? We don't have to. We have to forgive each other. And sometimes it's one can't tolerate another person's behavior because they consistently do something to you in the same way, the same pattern over and over. And then you find yourself not being able to be forgiving. So those are things we need to work on. We need to know that the time that we have is very short. And we don't have time left to fool around, to play games, mm-hmm. to manipulate, to whatever it is people do that they do. Mm-hmm. They need to take that time and say, Allah, this is what I have. What can I do with this time that you will be pleased with me for? Mm-hmm. What can I do that will be fruitful, purposeful, meaningful, significant? It's not only, we don't have time. we really don't, when we're running out of time, and if we, the sooner we realize this, the better for us, so that we can live that kind of life that Allah is pleased with.
Inshallah. Mariam, you know, you spoke about regret.
Yeah.
So obviously sometimes, and it's just unfortunate that when somebody passes, there is regret. And there is, does that mean that the person automatically grieves differently? And what does regret do to you as a person once the person has passed? And obviously you can now not mend this relationship. It must, you know, it must eat on you. I mean, I'm just trying to think how people live with that.
Very valid point, Nadia, because that is the thing. Whether you're dead or alive and you live with regret, it's the same kind of eating at you, because people, the pride people have, that they won't come and say maaf, or they won't mend things, or they won't want to make it better because their pride is bigger than their pain. And that is sad, when people's pride is much bigger than their pain, that they can't even come and ask maaf. So now imagine when the person has passed on, what kind of, how it eats you like cancer eats at your cells. That's what regret does. And that's why some pains are deeper and wounds are deeper in, because that regret, you know, somebody said, I wish I was there when the person passed. You weren't meant to be there. A lot of people say, why couldn't I have just been, if I could have just heard her earlier, I could have been there. If I just came earlier, half an hour earlier, I would have been there. You weren't meant to be there. Mm-hmm. You were not meant to be there. But those are all the kinds of things we say to ourselves to make ourselves, for us to feel better about it, because we kind of try to make logic of that loss. We can't, because we can't fathom it. And right. So the same way when it comes to grief, you get a mother who loses a baby in stillborn, and that destroys that woman, because she hasn't even learned, she maybe just lost the baby in the stomach and was attached and that kind of bond, but she never had the opportunity to do anything else with a child and experience joy and anything else with a child, but yet that person grieves the same way that somebody else had. You can't even equate it. I won't even try to equate it, because whether the child is a year old, 2 years old, 50 years old, my neighbor's daughter drowned 2 weeks ago. We came out of our house and I heard her screaming. The child was a year and a half years old. She was beyond herself. She was screaming. She couldn't deal. Can you imagine the guilt? There's the other one. There's regret and there's guilt. Guilt, why wasn't I there? Why didn't I watch her all the time? Why didn't I? Everybody was busy. It was Boxing Day. Everybody was having fun. And she sneaked out and she went into the pool. She walked into the pool. She must have thought somebody was there to catch her, you know, but she passed. But that was not about negligence only, because this is how people are. When somebody dies, let's blame somebody for it. Somebody needs to take the fall for it. So even the angel of death said, oh Allah, I don't want to be responsible for taking the ruh of somebody. So create a scenario for me so that I can go fetch the ruh. But you create a scenario, they call it a sabab. Create a sabab for me so that I, a reason for me to go fetch the rope. So let him be sick, let him have a heart attack, let him drown, let him be shot, let him, something happen to them, because I don't want to take that on me. I just want to take the soul. Mm-hmm. And that's all I want to do. I don't want to feel guilty about letting them die, you know? Yeah. So if we look at the wisdom behind that also, we're always trying to look for a reason. If we resuscitated them more, if they only steamed more with COVID, if they only took more vitamin D, whatever, there's healthy, healthy people that die. Healthy, healthy people that die of a heart attack, and you can't even, they come out of the gym and something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it is like, so when we talk about regret and we talk about denial and we talk about guilt is something that eats a lot of people like regret does, because it is something that, and a lot of people don't speak about it. They don't want to speak about this hurt me. This hurt me so much because there's some ugly things that people say to other people that makes them feel that way, and nobody else ever get to know it. because they don't get to express it. And so they keep this hurt and this pain to themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so not everybody is capable of expressing themselves and saying, you know what, I really can't deal. I admired another girl on the status, one of the statuses. I know her. She's a client of mine, too. She said, I can't deal with this woman that's supposed to be a mother. I think she reared her, but it wasn't her mother. And she said, I can't deal. I don't know what to do. She just died. And she expressed herself in so many different ways. And mm-hmm. I thought, now there's other people that just cut off. You can't even reach them. Years later, you can't even reach them because they just, it's a no-go. You don't talk to me about that. I won't entertain this with you. I'm not even going to go there. So that kind of wound, how deep is that wound? Wow. How deep is that scar, you know, that somebody can't even, you know, I know my daughter wouldn't mention anything about my son. If I said something about him, she wouldn't want to hear because she couldn't deal. Mm-hmm. She couldn't deal with it. So everybody has their level and their capability and the way they deal. There's no right way about how you must grieve and how long it will take you. And somebody said to me, oh, you don't cry. You don't keep on crying about somebody. You have to, oh, somebody told me, don't even go to the cobblestone because it's just like scratching a wound open every time. And, you know, I thought, you know what I did that helped me a lot was journal to my son. Mm-hmm. I journaled to him. I spoke to him as if he was there. I said, you know, this is what happened on day one. This happened when I heard you were coming down from Johannesburg. And I wrote every detail I could remember because I didn't want, you know, the one thing you don't want is you don't want to miss a single memory. You want to hold on to everything. You want the look in their eyes, the gratitude, mm-hmm. the funniness, wow. the smile, everything you want to hang on to the last detail because it's like you're scared you're going to betray that person. And even that's another topic. When a man dies, there's some men that grieve for their deceased wife for so long that they don't even open their hearts again to want to marry somebody else again, or for that matter, even a woman.
Right.
Because they feel a sense of betrayal, you know, that they're betraying that person if they move on. If they're happy, then but the deceased is not settled energetically. If we are they're spirit, their bodies die, their bodies disintegrate into the ground, but not their spirit. And a lot of people, it's a topic that people don't want to talk about. It's a topic people don't want to know about. But this, why do we say during Ramadan, Allah opens the doors for the deceased to come in and visit you? Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, so many people have so much to say, and they don't want to know that the spirits can come and visit you. You dream about them. Mm-hmm. And so you long for them. I know a friend of mine that says when she makes salah, she always finds the sun at his feet right next to her, like he's standing in qiyam.
Wow.
Now, somebody else that will say, oh, that can't be, that's not possible. I know it. She said to me, I feel so close. When my son passed at 40 days, I could smell a sense of fragrance all around me all the time. Now, if somebody can't understand that, don't even waste your time to even explain it to them, because they can't, because all of them say, no, the person's dead, they're in the cupboard and that's it. Because their minds are shut off. They don't know anything else. They can't even comprehend that something like that can happen. So it's a vast topic. It's a vast, vast topic. Death, what happens to you after death? What happens to you in the Kabbalah? What you must recite? Somebody asked, is it necessary to recite Surah Yasin? Is it necessary to have a khatam? I saw it on one of the chats, on the chats the other day, and I saw my exited. I deleted myself from the group because I just, you know, I don't have time for this. Because you know what, you need to deal with your death the way you know how to deal with it.
Indeed.
You can't let somebody dictate to you how you need to deal with your grieving. It's how you can be advised. You know what? Somebody once said on a Facebook chat, they said, take time out to grieve during the day so you don't grieve the whole day. I don't know how advisable that is. Like, if you're going to cry the whole day for 6 weeks or for 8 weeks or mm-hmm. for 3 months or for 5 years, some people just zone out. They zone out. They're never going to be happy again. Their life ended. And so that's not why Allah kept you behind. You're supposed to still be living. But it doesn't mean we forget about the sadaqa to jariya that we also have to do for them, you know, to keep giving them... to keep giving in their name.
Right.
And You know, and it's like saying there's even a hadith that says, when you make a dua, it's like you're coming to give him flowers, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Right. We need to pay the bills. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue. You are tuned to the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. This evening, I am really, really moved by this topic this evening. We're talking about grief. We're talking guilt, betrayal. There's such a lot that we're talking about. Mariam Gafood, accredited life coach and holistic healing therapist, specializes in emotional release and balancing, speaks to us. And I am touched. I moved. Lots of people sending WhatsApps. I'll be going into that a bit after the break, inshallah. But do stay tuned. And remember, 082-991-3913, SMS 47913. You tuned to 91.3 FM. I'm Nader Khamildin in the Shahida Kali Show. To the Voice of the Cape on 91.3 FM. I'm your host, Nader Khamildin, in the Shahida Kali Show. And this evening, we are talking about grief. We have on the line with us accredited life coach, holistic healing therapist, specialist in emotional release and balancing, Mariam Gafood. And I'm going to go straight to the WhatsApp messages that have come through. And I received a WhatsApp saying, Assalamu alaikum, I have a question for Mariam. I'm an introvert and very intense person. I feel and notice things which most people don't. I always feel weak, sleepy, and moody before a person I know dies. What is this?
Hi. Salam, Nadia. I would say that's intuition, that Allah is letting you become aware and preparing you for that death, because that's exactly what I spoke about earlier on. Because a boy that I saw about 2 weeks ago, his mom passed away. I had an appointment with him that morning, and his mom passed away that morning. But he said he's been feeling, he felt sick already. He felt he was going to lose her. Every time she spoke to him or he spoke to her, he had this feeling where he didn't want to let go of her, but she was in hospital, but they were on the phone. So it definitely is intuition. It is Allah's way of letting, preparing your soul that this will go. So the moodiness, she's highly intuitive, whoever she is, because a lot of us, you know what happens, Nadia, sometimes we're so emotional that we're not in tune with what we're actually feeling. And sometimes we are very emotional and empath, because what happens is you feeling the person's pain, you seeing a lot of the times when I look at some clients that I know, I feel like their life force is going. I feel that they haven't got any zest in their body to want to fight and move on. And sometimes it's like they worrying about the person and they don't want to die. They worrying about the person that what's going to happen to them. So you have to give the person permission to say it's okay. That person is going to be fine. Mm-hmm. You need to let go and prepare yourself for that. You should be worrying. You're keeping your tongue wet with kalam Allah, you know. So the person who goes through the mood swings and who is experiencing that, I would say is quite a deep empath, where she's actually feeling a lot. And it is, and sometimes you don't know how to deal, because nobody teaches you how to deal with all the emotions. And like she said, she's an introvert, so it makes it difficult for her to express herself. I know somebody who said to me, people think they're mad, that she's mad when she expresses what's happening. So some people just retrieve and not say anything, because what are you going to think about me if I say something, you know? So it's a lot of issues around that, you know? Mm-hmm. I hope that explains a satisfactory answer to the lady who asked.
Mm-hmm. I have received another, this is just something that someone has sent through, saying, Assalamu alaikum, I was married for 42 years till Allah called my husband back home. I always say Allah lent him to me for 42 years, alhamdulillah. Why do people tell you that in time it will heal? But that's not true. It's all the beautiful memories that keeps you going, alhamdulillah.
You see, Nadia, relationships are... There's some people who make other people's lives very difficult while they're married. There's very few people that can hold on to a good union and a relationship that when their partner dies, they really grieve by it. And because they spend valuable time together and meaningful moments, significant moments, that's the person that will grieve because they... pain is as deep as their love. Then you get somebody else that would even swear and say, I wish this person was out of my life. Can't they just die? Can't they just get out of my way? So it depends on the bond. Again, I'll come back to the bond, because if you had a good understanding and you enjoyed having a meal with that person, you look forward to giving that person a breakfast and sharing your day with that person, everything was special. So that person would really miss it. They would, their lives will be empty, so there's no such thing that it gets better with time. A lot of people don't even go to widowers when their husbands pass on. Widows suffer. They suffer by themselves. Nobody even in the community will even think, maybe we could introduce a man that would marry and take care of her, because that person is lonely and that person also wants a companion and somebody that they can share with. And some people don't even want to ever replace their partner. So it's a very controversial topic, this, because it's like people would, it depends exactly on your level and your bond, your love. If you have a good connection, it's meaningful and significant, and you'll treasure it and value it that way. And therefore, no amount of time will make that hurt any better. Mm-hmm. When there's acceptance from Allah, if you say, Allah, I know this is from you, and I know that it is, you have that kind of acceptance, then it makes it a little bit more easier, the days, and you fill your days. You know, I said to my mom when my stepdad passed, I said, now it's your time with Allah. Mm-hmm. Many, I think almost 2 years later, I said, it's now your time with Allah. So sometimes... we also make an illah of loved ones. And so when Allah takes them away, you feel like you died because you can't live on, you can't move on. I know that sounds a bit harsh. I don't mean it to sound that way. But I'm saying sometimes women do that with their husbands also, make their husbands an illah and forget to worship and praise Allah and do for Allah. And yes, you must love your husband and care for him and do for him, but you must make time for Allah also. And there is a ibadah in serving. If you're giving your husband a meal and cooking, it's an ibadah and it's serving. So when it comes to that muhabba that you build together, that bond, that grieving, I would say that we can say there's a difference in grieving, because if you despise the person that you're living with, it wouldn't affect you as badly as the person that you love so deeply. I hope that point comes across clearly, because it's just trying to make it clear on what you're saying, that if the bond is so special, then the pain will be as deep as your love.
Mm-hmm. Another message has come through. Alhamdulillah, I'd like to say shukran to this listener. She says, Alhamdulillah, Nadi Khamildin is so inspiring, mashallah, Alhamdulillah. I'm only but a vessel, and I try to, speak from my heart and what the Almighty wants. And we all have different life experiences, and I think sometimes, we become really emotional when we talk about certain things, yes, only because it touches
it
us
so much.
Yes, and with all of this, there's so much healing as well.
Yes.
And this listener says, I'm listening, and I'm absolutely moved by the messages expressed by Mrs. Ghafoor. May we all listen attentively and learn by this wisdom, inshallah. With best salams and du'as, and that comes from Suraya, small sage, and expressed so beautifully, alhamdulillah. May Allah reward her for all her initiatives. Amin, amin, inshallah. We don't have much time left. I think we definitely needed more time for this program. But The other part of it that I also just want to talk about is sudden loss. Yeah. Now, sudden loss is, I just had a word with one of my friends last night who lost her niece. Mm. And, you know, I didn't know this girl. Mm. But, you know, when you feel immense pain when somebody talks about their pain, I was really moved. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't think straight because I was just so touched by everything that she said. Mm. But, you know, that's what I want to talk about. You know, sudden loss. How do we sometimes people say, yeah, but, you know, it's part of being a Muslim and, you know, we need to accept and,
It's easy
difficult
for somebody to speak on that level when they're not in those shoes. When they're not standing in that person's shoes, it's different. So that's why I say we must reserve our opinions for ourselves and be more sensitive to other people's feelings, especially when it comes to death. We need to rather make a salawat and hug the person. It speaks volumes compared to a long paragraph that doesn't make sense to that person at that given time. So because you don't even want to hear what that person's got to say. I promise you, I never wanted to even open the door to anybody that knocked on my door or phoned me because I didn't want to hear, you must be strong and you must have somebody. I just didn't want to hear those words. So we have to give people time to grieve. And when you're talking about sudden death, I think every death is sudden because you don't expect it. Even people who are bedridden and they sick, that person is still in denial that person is. That's why people say, me too, for complete shifa. Then I look at them and I'm saying to myself, are you for real? You can see this woman hasn't got any zest in their body left anymore, no life force. How are we going to give to complete shifa here? You know, be realistic here, you know. But some people, because they're in denial, they don't want to know that death is going to take place. So even that death will be sudden. So it is a distinction there that even though you see there's a person being ill and that person is going to take a time to die, like with cancer, and how it takes a toll on them. And then you find an accident where the person just dies immediately in that death, in that car accident, immediately, in a car crash, in a plane crash, wherever, sudden death. I say you can never be prepared either way. Either way, some people say it makes the blow a little bit softer. Mm-hmm. You know, they call it makes the blow a little bit softer when you were prepared that person wasn't well. But I don't think so because the minute that person is no longer, it means that your ties are cut with that person on an energetic way. It's like there's nothing you can do for that person after that other than your sadaqah to jariyah for the person. Will you give zakah in their favor or charity in their favor or buy Qurans and let there be a legacy every time. Some people even go as far as taking out a well for somebody in Mozambique or somewhere and people benefit. That is sadaqa to jariyah. And that benefits the deceased person because it's a good deed that's carried on just the same way you make dua. And that good deeds and that whatever good deeds you do for the deceased is good for them, like Noor in their kabur, you know. And so sudden death, I'll say death is a shock to your system. Even if you're prepared for it and that phone call comes and says, that's it, they're gone. And you're like, they're gone, how can they just be gone? You know, you have to digest that, you have to fathom that, you have to, I really say digest that because it takes a long time for, sometimes it can eat you for a six, you're like, oh my word, this person died. But then living with that emptiness and that death, you know, only now, my son is gone 4 years. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you now, this birthday of his, that was the 17th of December, it hit me so hard that he was not here. The reality of him being gone 4 years is only hitting me now. That, oh my word, he really isn't going to be coming around for his birthday. Mm-hmm. Really, we're not going to be able to do anything. So, you know, it sometimes it takes a long time to sink in. And sometimes it really, grieving is a process. It really is a process. So whether it's a sudden death or a waited death or an expected death, I think it hits you the same way when the news is broken. I would say there are degrees of intensity it's like love. Intensity of love, intensity of pain. If people deal differently, there's some people that have so much iman and faith. I won't say that the person that's grieving hasn't got. Mm-hmm. I won't say that, but I'll say that there are people who has higher levels. Like I'm saying, they are different. We are all on different levels. Yeah. Some people will say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, and truly grieve and tell, I know this is from you, and I accept this is from you, even though it's paining my heart like this. But that alone is half the savior, is a consoling part, that you can tell Allah, I know you are there for me. This person belonged to you, and you, and make shukur. I said to this boy, just say ya shukur ya Allah. You blessed me with a love that was so beautiful. My mother loved me so dearly. Very few people can say that about their mothers. Mm-hmm. You know, and this boy said, what am I going to do without my mother? She was my everything, because my dad died a year ago. So you know what, when we listen to this type of thing, we must, I think we need to go and mend some broken hearts, and we need to go and make right, go make solo. Mm-hmm. Go and patch up. Go and do what you can so that you don't live with that regret and you don't feel guilty about what you could have done and should have said, and all of that is just a lot of BS. Go and do what you can. There's no such thing as should have, I could have. Pick up the phone and say, I miss you. Can I do something for you? Mm-hmm. I would want to do something for you. What can I do for you? Some people say, just come and hug me. I just want your hug. Mm-hmm. That means a lot to me. But we want to always do things in hindsight. Oh, we should have known because we saw the signs and. Mm-hmm. What we can do now, we must do. We must live in the moment and be present to what we're feeling now. Mm-hmm. Before it's too late for us to say, if only, or we should have, or we could have. So that's my final say.
Before we go, somebody sent through a message. Salam, I have a daughter and two adult sons. My daughter is far away, alhamdulillah. I speak to them and preparing them for my passing. Mm. So I'd like to say to this, obviously this is a mother.
Yes.
You know, no, you can never ever prepare a child to lose a mother. Yeah. That is on another level. So
I'll tell you this, my mom used to say that to me when I was younger. Oh, when I die, and I would cry. I would just cry. Because how can you say you're going to die? It's like torture, man. When are you going to die? She's already 79. She's still never died since I was like 5 years old. She told me that. So it is like torture. And then one day I just said to her, no, mommy. It was like a joke for her. And if I die, and it wasn't a joke for me, it was mm-hmm. real for me, because I was like, I would cry. I would say, you can't say that. What's going to happen? So, you know, it's also being sensitive to so everybody's on different levels. So what is a joke for one person is not a joke for another person, mm-hmm. you know. But also I can see the wisdom, like, prepare yourself that I won't always be around. So become responsible and do things the right way. In that way, there's nothing wrong with it. But if it's a constant reminder of saying, I won't be here one day, you'll be surprised. The children can even die before the mother, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So we have to live our lives as best we can, the best way we know how. Like I always say, when we want to learn something, we go out of our way to learn that skill. We go out of our way to learn how computers work, how it is to be a bookkeeper, how it is to be whatever. But do we go out of our way to find out how relationships work? Mm-hmm. The person you're dealing with, their temperament is different from yours. Right. Why don't we make that a goal to have better acquaintances, better relationships, better connections?
Well,
it mustn't be false. It must be sincere. It must be genuine. It won't be perfect, but it needs to be genuine. So that's my...
Yeah, we have another message that has come through. We should have a follow-up program like this one. This is when one loses a mom or a dad, one's home is not the same, and you can feel the emptiness, but Allah knows best. And this comes, shukran for the beautiful program. That comes from Suraya Damun. Shukran so much, and to Suraya for that message. And then somebody's asking for your number, Mariam. Are we allowed to give your number?
Yes, you're allowed to give it. It's fine.
Okay, so we have come to the end of this very, very emotional, I think, a beautiful program. We've had lots and lots of positive responses. Mariam, I am really grateful to you for taking the time to chat with us. And may the Almighty Allah bless you and grant you khair and barakah and lots of rizq, inshallah, ameen, and health.
Inshallah.
And inshallah, we hope to speak with you very, very soon. And stay safe, inshallah. And shukran for the time.
Shukran, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah to all of you listening. And I hope it was meaningful and valuable.
Yes, inshallah. Okay. Wa alaikum
salam. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran so much to all of you that have been part of the show this evening. We need to pay the bills, inshallah, and we say shukran so much to Mariam Ghafoor, accredited life coach and holistic healing therapist, specialist in emotional release and balancing. If anybody would like her contact number, please do send us a WhatsApp on 082-991-3913 and I'll gladly send it to you. We need to pay the bills, inshallah.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.